Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Okay, this is what I want you to do. We are going to, while I preach, we are going to do like a question in between preaching, okay? So maybe if I was thinking about it, you know, if you're sitting backwards in your seat, it's really hard. You know, you're like this and you're going to crank your neck. This is why I don't like tables. So maybe you turn your chair to the side if you're in the front, and then you could just scoot your little tush every time you had to turn, okay? I've really thought this through, okay? So do make the adjustments now so that you can see me and I don't become a pain in the neck, all right? Right on. Hey, this is so cool. They took all of the decorations from the main sanctuary and brought them in here. I love it. Pastor Michelle, they need to replace your light bulb. Oh, it's electrical wiring. Okay. Aren't these neat? The men made these for a RISE conference. And they made everything here. The men in the house are awesome. So I'm just so proud of them. We have a wonderful team around here. We're very blessed to be who we get to be and do what God's asked us to do. I am talking today about his heart plus our heart. Heart to heart. And I believe that God wants to require something of us that is going to be maybe not an easy change, maybe an easy adjustment. But I believe that God wants to move in your lives like he's never moved before. I believe that he wants a new season of passion that pours out of us as his women. I believe that God wants to speak new things and birth new things. Now listen to me. This is not contingent upon whatever age we are. I've heard many times, well, I'm older now. There's nothing for me to do. That's absolutely unacceptable. That is unacceptable, because in the kingdom of God, it says, let the older women teach the younger women. It means that God has a plan, that there are things that we want to put into place here at Girlfriends. God has birthed new ministries in my heart for every age range, for everything, and I need you guys to get on board. And what I'm going to do is we're going to get into these heart matters, but then afterwards, I want you to be in prayer with me for new things. To God to do new things, for God to create new dreams, for God to build new plans and new purposes in your hearts. What you've been told your whole entire life may have to change. May have to change. You see, we grow up with things that were said to us. Oh, you're too poor. Oh, you're too rich. Or, oh, I hear you're too white because I'm, you know, the only white girl around here. And I hear, you know, like you hear, oh, you can't do that because you've been doing this. You can't. Do you ever notice that? There's a lot of can'ts. But you know, the kingdom of God talks opposite. It says, oh, but you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And you are more than a conqueror. You are the head and not the tail. You may have been born into a family, listen to me, that maybe was a poverty mentality. Maybe you were born into a family where you were beat all the way up until you finally got to move out of the house. Maybe you were molested time and time again by people who should never have violated you. Maybe you have been raped. I was date raped when I was young. It changed the course of my life until I finally said, enough. This is not going to be who I am. You see, God wants our attention because God wants to birth new God dreams in our heart. And the God dreams have always been there for you. They've always been your plan. They have always been your destiny. But life comes and it gets us off course. And it begins to tell us lies. Things like, you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not enough, period. So-and-so cheated on me, so I probably wasn't good enough. I don't know why I can't keep that man. You know, I did everything I know how to do. Did you ever think it's not you? You see, the world lies to us. It puts us in this little box, and then the enemy roams around that little box and tantalizes our thoughts and begins to tell us how horrible we are. And we as women are very intimidated by insecurity. And God says, that has never been my heart for you, daughter. I want a heart that pleases me, a heart that can push past the insecurity and stand in confidence. A heart that strives for the impossible because I'm a God that can do the impossible. I need a woman who says, I don't care how you were raised or what has happened to you or what has been done wrong by you, because I make all things new. I will do a new work inside of you. I have a new plan for you. I have a new destiny for you. Today is not the final. Today is the beginning. And God says, enough is enough. I need a whole group of women that are seeking to find my heart and my pleasure. And I believe that's what God wants. There was this day that I was walking into Vaughn's, and I was just grabbing a few things, and I was in one of those really crazy rushes, you know, probably like this morning. And I was running into Vaughn's, and this man was standing outside of Vaughn's. And, you know, there's always somebody asking for money out there. But this guy was different. He looked different. And he goes, and he said very timidly, do you have any money? And I literally did not have cash because, you know, I'm that generation that doesn't carry cash. So I kind of like it. I'm like, no, sorry, I don't got any cash. You know, but I'll buy you something. And so I went inside and I got him a meal while I did some of my shopping. And then I went back outside and I felt God's displeasure with my response to him. And I felt this weight as I was shopping, like, that was messed up. That was not me. A full-time minister wouldn't say it like that to him. You were not in pleasure with me. You did not make me happy. And right away, I went, oh, God, I got to make this right. I cannot be in this position with God. I've been there too many times. I have disobeyed too many times. I have had to learn the hard lesson too many times. And I could feel I was on the brink of that moment with God. Now, you know, when God's mad at you, you have an issue. And he said to me, this is my son. And you don't need to snap at him or make him feel less than because he's out there asking for money. And I was like, whew. So I bought him a meal and went back outside with tears in my eyes. I said, you are so valuable to God. And I am so sorry that I made you feel less than, that you had to apologize to me. Because he said to me, I'm sorry for bothering you. And I said, you are never bothering me. Please forgive me for not valuing who you are. And this man said, wow, thanks. And I go, listen, you're human. God loves you. He has a plan for you. And this is not your final day. This is not your destiny. And I invited him to church and I gave him his meal and I walked away. And I felt the pleasure of God. And he said to me, thank you. Thank you for making that right. And you see, I think at times we can get very distracted with who we are when it really isn't about who we are. I think it's about who we need to be for him. We take on things in life, and have you ever started out with God like, yes, I'm so on board because I love God so much. And then all of a sudden it kind of like, you're in the middle of it and you're like, this is annoying and I have to do one more thing. And we start complaining about what God gave us. I don't think that pleases his heart. I think that God is saying to us, I want the kind of woman that I can constantly trust. One that has my attention every day. One that when I say something, I know she's not going to stop and decide to rebel. But one that says, no, Father God, even though this is off my course, off my schedule, off my agenda, I'm in. One that's willing to go public with her faith like Pastor Eleanor talked about last week. You see, God loves us so much that he's seeking for women to seek him. Women that want to get into what he's into. Women that are passionate about what he's passionate about. Women that care about their children because he cares about their children. Women that believe the impossible for their family when it doesn't look like there's any possibility of change. Because you know the one who created all things. That's what he's seeking. In Psalms 119:33-42, it says, just tell me what to do and I will do it, Lord. As long as I live, wholeheartedly obey. Make me walk along the right path, for I know how delightful and ready they are. Help me to prefer obedience to making money. I believe what that means is You know what? My plans, my ways, my desires. I will obey you despite, even if I lose money. 37, turn me away from wanting any other plans than yours. Revive my heart towards you, Lord. Reassure me that your promises are for me, for I trust and I revere you. How I dread being mocked for obeying, for your laws are right and they are good. You will be mocked in this next generation. This culture says everything the Word of God stands for is wrong. You will be mocked. You will be persecuted. But God is looking for the woman that doesn't care if she's mocked or persecuted, but she stands on the Word which is right. I long to obey them. Therefore, in fairness, renew my life, for this was your promises. Yes, Lord, to save me. Now spare me by your kindness and your love, and then I will never have to answer for those who taunt me, for I trust your promises. What kind of heart pleases God? We're going to look into that today. What kind of heart pleases the Father? Let's get right into it. Number one, a contrite heart pleases God. A contrite heart. You see, what does contrite even mean? It means feeling or expressing remorse. It is affected by guilt. You see, when guilt happens, it's not something we need to hold on to, but it's something that we need to take and go, whoa, what is that? Examine ourselves and go, okay, what's there that I need to fix and I need to get right before God? You see, but when you hold on to guilt and you live in it, that is not what God did not die on the cross for, our guilt and shame. But he uses it to reconnect us and realign us with him. There was a man in the Bible by the name of David, King David. This man, he was a good man, but he had some bad issues. There was a woman by the name of Bathsheba, which I think is really funny. Her name was Bathsheba because she was on top of a roof taking a bath. I do think that there's like some whimsical things in the Bible, like, you know. And here he sees her and, ooh, he wants her. Now, men are always thinking about that. You know that. And he didn't care. She was married. And she's dumb. She knew what she was doing, too. I don't put it past us girls. You know, we dress skimpy for certain reasons. You're going to catch the wrong thing doing that. So that was a little side note. You can take that, write that down, give that to a friend. Okay, so that was free. And so here's Bathsheba, and he says, ooh, I want her, but she's married. He sends her over to his kingdom. Now, he lies with her, and she gets pregnant. And you know what happened? Oh, no, he's caught. So, well, she's married. Let's bring her husband back and, like, give them time to be together. Now, they are in the middle of war. Her husband is, like, one of the top dogs, and he's like, you're calling me back to the kingdom? He's such a loyal man. He says, I cannot be with my wife while my army is out there in the war fighting. So he stays outside the house. So one of David's people says, you know, he's not going into her house, you know, like. So then he has to reconfigure another lie. Do you notice about sin reaps more sin? Reaps more sin. You're like digging the biggest ditch for yourself, right? And all of this, I'm sure he is not talking to God at this point. You know, the harpist and the, you know, just the greatest man in the whole world. He is totally probably disconnected. Then he sends Uriah out to the battlefield, the front lines, and the man dies because that was his plan. The wages of sin is death. Uriah lost his life that day, thinking he was doing it for a cause. Then God sends a prophet to talk to David. Starts telling David this story about this horrible person who would come against God and sin. He says, what should you do? Oh, that's bad. And he says, you're it. And the fear of God fell on David. And from that point on, he was broken and he was contrite before the Lord. In fact, he was so broken. We have a whole book in Psalms talking about how broken he was. You see, from that point on, he got in the face of God. From that point on, he was at God's feet going, oh, please forgive me. What have I done? Not only did Uriah have to die because of his sin, David's son died because of his sin. God is not one to be played with. I like the seeker-sensitive churches. They like to talk about how wonderful Jesus is. He's wonderful. But don't get on his bad side, because he's a parent. And when you do something wrong, hopefully you discipline your children. And here was David in a moment of bad. I mean, how do you come back from that? People died because of your sin. You are the king. No one's going to tell you no. But yet David said, oh God, forgive me. And he was broken and he was contrite before God. He wept. He anguished. It tore him up because he had such a deep relationship with the Father that he knew he was severed from that. And his heart couldn't handle it. Let's read Psalms 51:17. David says, it is a broken spirit you want. Remorse and penitence, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not ignore. You see, when we're broken before the Lord, we have God's attention. Because we've reached our last point of hurt. No man on earth can fix it. No word can be said. You are at the point of like, I need you, God. There's nothing else that will fix this. And that's when God says, good, now I can get in there and change what needs to be changed. You see, a broken and a contrite spirit is something that God not only longs for, but I think God desires. The coolest thing about this is, you know, David felt bad. Have you ever been in a situation with somebody and you tell them what happened, that they were caught, and they feel bad they were caught? That, I'm telling you, there's nothing worse for me. If my kids feel bad they got caught and they're saying sorry, I'm like, oh no, we got issues. But when my kid comes to me and says, Mom, I messed up. I'm so sorry, Mom. It's almost like instantly, I'm like, I forgive you. I love you. Let's move on. Let's just make this right. And on, because you see their heart is so broken that now you have to fix it and put it back together. That's how the Father God is with us. When we are caught in our sin and we really aren't changing, but we're embarrassed we're caught, then we have issues. Our heart can't be penetrated by the word of God. We're cold and we're hard. God says, that is not a contrite heart. A broken heart before me is what I long for. Later on, God said about David, the very man who broke God, who hurt people, the very man, God said later on that David was a man after God's own heart. You see, that shows me it can all be restored. But it starts with a broken and a contrite spirit. That means some time with God. Some, Lord, I'm so sorry. I just don't know what happened to me. And you know what happens when we do that? He says, it's okay. It's okay, daughter. Let's pick up the pieces. Let's begin to put them back together. I'm here, and I forgive you. I already went to the cross for it, so let's just clean ourselves up. And let's keep moving forward. And that's what God is looking for, a contrite heart. Number two, he's looking for a tender heart. Turn with me to 2 Kings 22. It's kind of an Old Testament message. I love the Old Testament because it shows us what went before us so that we don't have to do that. It gives us such beautiful examples of what God has for us. There was a king. Let me turn there real quick. 2 Kings. My Bible instantly opens to where I'm reading. 2 Kings 22. His name was Josiah. King Josiah. Let me lay out the foundation for you in this story. Here he was. They had damaged the temple. There has been a lot of sin going on with the people. They were worshiping other gods. They were praying to other gods. They were not serving God at all. There has been sin in the camp. And Josiah was a man who loved God. And they were rebuilding the temple. They were fixing it. And he says to one of his servants, go and collect the temple money, count it out, and pay them for their work. And they said, okay. So they go and they do as he asks. And they said, while we were there paying the workers, we found the word of God. We found it. They brought it back and they read it to him. And this is what happened. Let me see if I can get in here. Verse 11. Because Manzah, king of Judah, had done these abominations and acted wickedly, then all the Amorites who were before him and all had made Judah sin with his idols. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such calamity upon Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears of it, both his ears will tingle. I will stretch over the Jerusalem in measure of line of Samaria and plummet the house of Ahab. I will wipe Jerusalem as one who wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. I did not want to be in that city at that time. I mean, what does that even look like? There's going to be some chaos happening. And God is getting his attention. So I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies. They shall become victims and plundered of all enemies because they have done evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger. Their fathers who come out of Egypt. Now let's move down. Let's see here. I don't think that this is right. No, it's not right. See, and this is what I'm saying. My computer kept flipping out. I want to say it might be Chronicles that I'm in. So, hold on. Forgive me. Do you forgive me? Yes, here we go. Verse 11. I'm reading 19. Aren't they all? Wow, God was really mad, the whole lot of verses. Okay. Good. I wasn't the only one mad today. Okay. Now it happened. When the king heard the words of the book of the law. Now Josiah was read the book of the law. When he had heard it, listen to what happens. The words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. That was a sign back then that there was something majorly wrong. That was their covering. That was everything. They rip it like, this is not good. He tore his clothes. Then the king commanded the priest, Acham and Stephan, whatever, and the scribe, Isaiah, and the servant of the king, saying, go and inquire of the Lord for me and the people of Judah concerning the words of this book that he has found. For there is great wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us because our fathers have not obeyed the word of this book. Do according to what is written. Let's move down. So he's saying, oh gosh, I'm reading this and the fear of God is coming on me. And so when the fear of God comes on, it begins to either harden our hearts or it begins to soften our hearts. You see, he read the word and he was tender towards the word of God. And as he was tender in the things of God, God began to hear his heart. It caught God's attention. Because when we're hard, God says, you aren't even letting me in. Your heart is hardened towards me. When you read the word, it does nothing for you. When you pray, it's praying just to thin air. You're not connecting with me. I'm looking for a daughter who's connected. He tore his clothes and he was tenderhearted. So they end up going to a woman, and she says, thus says the Lord, verse 16, I will bring calamity on this place and the inhabitants of all the words of the book into which King Judah has read. Verse 17, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to their gods, they might have provoked me with anger and the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. But, ooh, I like buts. But, as for the king of Judah, Josiah, who sent to inquire of the Lord, in this matter you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words in which you have heard, because your heart was tender. You see, Josiah was sensitive to the word of God. He read it and it moved him. He read it and it changed his perspective. He read it and the fear of God came on him and it provoked him to actually change. And God says, ooh, because of that, listen to this. Because your heart is tender and you've heard, I spoke against the place and against the inhabitants that they would become a desolation and a curse. You've tore your clothes and you wept before me. I have also heard you, says the Lord. Surely their For I will gather you in your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. Whew. Your eyes shall not see all of this calamity which I will bring on this place. So they brought the word back to the king. Listen, a tender heart catches the heart of God. And then it brings peace. And it brings protection. And it brings rest. He didn't even have to walk through that trial because he was so moved by what the word spoke that the tenderness of his heart caught the attention of God. God wants our hearts to be tender towards him. Tender towards what he's asking. Tender towards what he's saying to us. Tender towards what it is that he's longing for us to learn. You see, this word is not something that you should take advantage of, girls. Don't just come and expect us to teach it to you. But on your own time, find your own way in your own spot. Get into the word and let it change us. Let us become tender towards what God's tender for. Let us find compassion for what God finds compassion for. Let us pray the way God needs us to pray. Because there's so much to be done. The kingdom is at hand. And he's asking you to have a tender heart. The third thing God looks for is a steadfast heart. A steadfast heart. I said I was going to ask you questions in between. I'm just going to preach through this and then we'll do it, okay? A steadfast heart. Steadfast means fixed in a direction. You have somewhere to go. Steadily directed gaze. A firm in purpose, resolution, faith, unwavering, firmly established. I love this one. Fixed in a place. Remember we talked about your spot. Be in your spot. Be steadfast in your spot. Be unwavering in your spot. Be unchanging in your spot. Know your purpose and your call. Let that always be what drives you. Say, how do I find out what my purpose and my call is? You get connected to the house of God. You put your hand to what he's asking you to do. You volunteer. You love on someone. You become an SBT. You get involved in what God's involved in. Then you find out your purpose. You see, you were never created to do nothing for the kingdom. We were all created to do something for the kingdom. We're all kingdom builders. But if we don't realize that about ourselves, our heart won't stay steadfast. It will fall off. It will break away. It will get eaten up by sin. Guy, I remember sitting in the counselor's office in high school. It's my senior year. I wanted to go to Oral Roberts University. I wanted to pretend like I was very smart. And I remember the counselor said, well, you're kind of, she actually said this to me. She said, you're too stupid to go to a four-year college. You should probably start in a two-year college. And then we'll see if you even get through that. And I'm telling you, that did something to me. I mean, I always felt stupid because I was that person that had to study for like 10 million days and I still got the D. And I didn't understand why. So I think it's very comical that I have to read to you in front of you. So this is very hard for me, okay? Because I have to read things three times in order to understand it. When I study, I have to study not like smart people probably do. I have to study and go over it like 50,000 gazillion times. So I think it's funny that God has me as a teacher. Because I'm so not educational. But I do love the Word of God. I do love studying the Word. And as I sat there, two things were going on inside of me. You know, I'm not a wimp. That I'm not. So I was thinking of all the things I was going to tell her. And then I did think this. My brother's coming behind me. And we have the same name. I don't want him to have to reap that. Do you know that she told Luke the same thing 4 years later? Same counselor. Luke went on to college. He's brilliant. I don't know what happened to me. So I did go to college. I did go to 2-year college. And I did go to Rhema Bible Training Center. And I sat between Luke and Dan every day, and I just hated myself the whole time. Because every time they get their test scores, I would be like, what did you get? They'd be like, what'd you get? I'm like, I'm not telling you. Because I know all of you got better ones than I did. And I had to overcome those objectives. You know what I kept in front of me? The call. I know God asked me to do this. It's not comfortable for me. It's not easy for me. I don't ever feel cool enough, trendy enough, pretty enough, smart enough, good enough. But you know what? If he asked me, that's enough. And my heart stayed steadfast. Listen, rejection will get you off course. Insecurity will keep your heart off course. It'll rob you from what God has for you. Go back to what he said and stay steadfast. Your course is given to you. Do what he asked, because there's blessing in that. Psalms 57:7 says, my heart is steadfast. Oh God, my heart's steadfast. I will sing and give you praise. When you do not feel like you're on the course that you should be on, praise God. Lord, I praise you that no weapon formed against me will prosper. Lord, I cast my cares on you. Lord, I just come before your throne. I ask God that you would give me direction again, that you would line my path, that you give me boldness, that you would allow me to walk in that steadfast moment that you've asked me to do. Lord, that I would continue to stay in the call that you've asked me to be. Listen, lovely ladies, you are all called. You are all full-time ministers. When you asked him to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life, something happened in the kingdom of God. The devil began to scream and shudder, started to make plans to get you off course, started to strategize. How can I get her off course? How can I get her to not like herself? How can I get her to not feel like she's a failure at mothering and being a wife and at a job or at education? You see, that's all there. And you have to just walk through it and go, no, in the name of Jesus, I'm on my course. No, I'm not going to listen to those lies. I don't care if somebody rejected me. I'm going to continue to be bold with my faith. I don't care what the devil says. This child will live and not die. I cannot tell you how many times I had to go in while I was pregnant like Pastor Michelle, and I had to kick the devil right out. I fought for those kids while they were still inside. Listen. God wants a steadfast warrior. He wants a woman that says, no, not me. You can go find the wimp, but I ain't your wimp. Be steadfast. Psalms 112:7 says, he will not be afraid of evil things. Woo! Evil tidings. I'm not afraid. I do not have a spirit of fear. But I have power, and I have love, and I have a sound mind. You shut down what the devil's telling you. The end of that verse says, his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. My trust is in God. My trust is in not things or people or situations or consequences. My trust and my gaze is fixed on him. Girls, know your course. Keep your heart in line with what God has spoken to you, and do not allow yourselves to get sidetracked, because on a daily basis, the enemy's trying. This kind of steadiness and steadfastness gets God's attention. And 4, God is looking for enlarged hearts. Hearts that are not shut down. Hearts that are not locked up from hurt and pain. Hearts that are not hard, but hearts that can handle increase, hearts that can handle a new capacity, hearts that pray in things that, whoa, where did that prayer come from, God? All right, I'm on board. Have you ever done that? When you're praying, like, whoa, that was the Holy Spirit praying when he needed to pray. God's looking for those moments with us, because he has so much to do. Listen to me. Dr. Komenick preached on Sunday night and he talked about the ways that we can bring Jesus back and why he hasn't come back yet. And I thought to myself, oh Lord, let me do all of it so that you can come back. You see, God says, I can't do any of it until my people get on board and realize that their lives are not their own, that they were bought with a price, and that I need them to believe for bigger, for greater. I need them to go beyond what has been okay. Sometimes we sit in a world of complacency. Sometimes we live the same routine. You know, it's very interesting. My husband he has a blog, and he journaled all year last year. And so then this year, he's actually reading the journal from last year and blogging about this year, what happened. I cannot tell you how crazy it is how we literally repeat ourselves. History repeats itself to the point that we got in a fight on the same day the year before. It's like crazy. He went shopping for clothes on the same day last year, his birthday. I'm like, wow, we probably should shop a little bit more, maybe. Like the kids had certain doctor's appointments the same exact days. And I'm like, that is bizarre. Like, how weird. You know, that's so weird. But I think we're creatures of habit. And I think God is saying, I want to throw a wrench in that agenda. I want to throw a wrench in your dailies. I want you to believe God for the impossible. I want you to see things not the way that they look, but the way that they're going to be. I want to increase your borders, expand your capacity. I want you to grow in deeper ways with me, where you are no longer a victim of poverty, but you are the answer to it, because you follow my kingdom principles. You are no longer a victim of abuse, because you've overcome the pain of that, and you're able to help other people walk through it. You are no longer a victim of you can't. Oh, but you can, daughter of God, because you are made by me. You see, God has so much to increase in our hearts. And he's waiting for the heart that says, I'm ready. What do you got, God? What do you got? Psalms 119:32 says, I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Whew. Let that be our prayer every day. Lord, enlarge our hearts today. Help me see what you see, God. Help me not miss what you need me to do, God. I could have missed that man in front of Ons. But because I was connected to the Holy Spirit, he was able to fix me, turn me around, and get me right. There was a time, you've probably heard this story before. I was broke, and I had to get some sheets. And I was at Home Goods. This lady in front of me had no money to buy all of the little knickknacks she bought. She's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. The Holy Spirit says, pay for her. And I'm like, no. And I was like looking at her knickknacks going, she doesn't need that. Like, this is a need. I needed sheets. We laugh, but you know you've done it. And I felt like it was such a missed opportunity, and I felt the displeasure of God. The lady walked out of there, and I remember for days I couldn't get away from it. Our finances locked up right after that. Talk about needing sheets. I needed everything. And the Lord was like, that's because you weren't willing to be generous. You see, God is requiring of us to do maybe something little, but it's going to unlock the enlarged thing in our life. You say, well, I haven't been hearing from God lately. Well, what is it that you've locked up? Are you hard-hearted towards things he's asking us to do? You see, God wants to enlarge our hearts. There's a man by the name of Jabez. 1 Chronicles 4:10, it says, this is Jabez's cry. This verse is like in the middle of like a whole bunch of like, you would be ignoring kind of while you're reading. Have you ever done that? Or maybe that's just me because I'm like not the smartest. But you know, the names and the positions and the places of people, you're kind of like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But this verse was right in the middle. It says, Jabez cried out to God. Let's just stop right there. Are you, oh God, oh God, or oh God, I need you. Maybe you need to cry out a little bit more. Jabez did, and he cried out to the God of Israel, and it says, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And I love this part. And God granted his request. He prayed the will of God in his life. He asked and he received. Maybe you need to start asking for impossible things again. Maybe you need to start believing God to do greater things. He asked for increased territory. He asked for increased capacity. Listen, let's pray and ask God to increase our capacity again. We are the multitaskers of all multitaskers. If we were multitaskers, our children would be dead. Because sometimes I do sit back and watch Dan with the kids and I'm like, yeah, we're not getting out the door today. They haven't eaten. They haven't dressed. He like leaves them in their room to go, boys, go get dressed. I'm like, yeah, that don't work. You got to follow that up. And then Titus comes back out with some funky outfit that I'm like, woo! And he's so cute. He's like, what's wrong with it, Mom? Everything? Like, let's fix that. You see, we're multitaskers. We have a lot to manage. Pastor Michelle and I were talking about just some things that are happening in the women's ministry. I go, don't you think it's crazy that we have the biggest ministry here at this church? Did you know that we have the biggest ministry at this church? We have the most services. Other than any other ministry, we have the biggest events. You girls show up. The men are like, why do the girls show up? I'm like, why don't you? Because we like to be together, right? But yeah, we have the biggest responsibility in multitasking. We have a job, we have kids, we have husband, we have everything. We got to keep it together. Da 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 da. But yet, there's a grace on us to do it. And instead of complaining about it, this is what I pray about it. Lord, enlarge my capacity to do it. Lord, give me grace to get it done. Give me grace to get it done right. Give me grace to get it in line. Give me grace to get in my groove, Holy Spirit. And you see, when we begin to bring God into our hearts, into our lives, they begin to enlarge a little bigger and enlarge a little bigger. And then all of a sudden, when we're doing what we're doing, it's no longer a pain in the butt. It's a blessing. And that's what God is requiring. Praying for what God longs for. Often I sit there and I'll pray and I'm like, Lord, what does he need me to pray for today? I mean, I know there's always the stable things, you know, like bless the finances, build the church. God, be big in the people's heart. Help us to be godly. Help us to speak with boldness and your grace. These are things I pray. Heal so-and-so, do this, do that. And sometimes the Lord is like, you need to pray for compassion today. And I think it's because I'm probably going to get not compassionate situations. Things that would send me over the edge probably. In my human capacity, I can't handle it. But in my spiritual capacity, oh, I can handle it and then some. Right? So let's pray for God to give us compassion. Let's pray for long suffering. I love the fruits of the Spirit. Love is patient. Oh, I didn't do that this morning. Love is kind. I told my husband I don't like you before I left the house. Afterwards, I will be telling him I'm sorry. It is long-suffering. I love this one. It doesn't keep a record of wrong. So you know those laundry lists of what he did and didn't do? You're wrong. You see, we walk in love. We put love in the middle of it. Our hearts are allowed to be enlarged. We seek the face of God. God begins to do something new inside of us. I believe God has something for you, girls. In my prayer time, I can feel his heart for you. I can feel his passion for you and your children and your lives. Today, it might be believing to have enough food on the table. But when he meets that need, then it's going to be, oh, God, a new car. Then it's going to be, oh, God, help me to pay my house payment. You see, it's all on different levels. It's still the same amount of faith. And I believe God wants to increase your capacity. Some of you have been told you will never own your own home. Really? Because what does God say? If that's the desire of your heart, why not? Why not? Now, this new generation, I think they're funny. They think it's great to rent, you know, and everything. I'm like, yeah, you wait until you're old and you ain't have any retirement. Because you buy a house, you pay it off, then that's equity for you. Later on, you could sell it if you need it. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why you should probably try and get a house. But listen to me. It's not about all that, because God says, none of that's too big for me. Maybe it's believing God that your wayward child is going to come and serve him. But it looks like impossible because they're on drugs. Because you don't know where they are half of the time. But you know what? He knows. You pray prayers like, Lord, make them miserable in their sin. Protect them while they're there. Lord, send laborers across their path. Oh, you pray those laborers into their world. If they had the word inside of them, it doesn't turn void. What he promised you yesterday, he will come. It will come to pass in your future. You will see it. You will see your children serve God. There are two verses I hold on to. When I was in youth ministry, I would tell parents this all the time. Well, a couple. One, that they have to work through their own salvation. That means however that looks for them, they're going to have to figure that out and make it him big in their heart themselves. Because your children don't get to heaven because you're saved. So pray for their hearts. Pray for their hearts, because that's what God is talking about. The heart means everything to God. He looks at the heart. Not the outward appearance, but the heart. Number two, that the word does not turn void. Oh, you get the word in them. In fact, bug them with the word. My mama never let me get away with anything. Well, what does the word say about that? What does the word say about that? Took everything in me yesterday. There was somebody talking to me, and they're a faith person. They were talking to me, and I was like, okay, don't Bible thump them. Don't Bible thump them right now. Do not Bible thump them. Oh, me, I'm not feeling good, and this and that, and this and that, and this, I'm not feeling good, da, da, da. And I'm like, what does the word say about that? My daughter had a sore throat last night. I said, what does the word say about that? Oh, Mom! This morning, I said, how's your throat? Oh, it's good. All right. Well, good. Yeah, because I'm healed in Jesus' name. That's right. You see, it becomes your culture. It becomes who you are. It pours up out of you. When those things no longer are an issue, then can expand to a new level. But you got to start there. Allow God to enlarge your hearts. Soften those hard places. Heal in those places that you've shut off. Those inner vows, as they talk about them, breaking free, where they, you make, oh, they will never do that to me again. Oh, I will never be put in that situation again. What if God says, I need you to go back into the lion's den? Because now you're healthy. And I need to say something. You see, be open and ready and available for what he needs. God has a plan for you, your family, for the Inland Empire, for this church. I believe this church is going to touch nations. It already is, but I believe we actually, our little feet, you sitting here, are going to go into the mission fields. I believe new churches will be started out of us. Now listen, not apart from us, with us. Because there's a godly way of doing that, and then there's an ungodly way of doing that. I believe there will be more rock churches, maybe in other states. What about other countries? We have a message of God here. We have a message of hope, a message of loving people to life. You see, God is increasing our borders here. God is asking us to do what seems impossible. And I believe that he needs you to get on board and do that in your own life. So when God says, can you, or when a pastor comes up to you and says, will you go? Will you go? Because the Holy Spirit told me to ask you. You say, yes, I'm on. I'm in it. I'm ready to go. You see, God wants to do some new things inside of us as the body of Christ. Lord, we just give our hearts to you today. Lord, increase our hearts. Expand our borders, God. Lord, help us to love the way you love. Lord, help us to be compassionate for what you're compassionate about, God. Help us to be the women you've asked us to be and not the human side of things, but Lord, that we walk in the Spirit and you're leading, Holy Spirit. Lord, when you say go, Lord, I pray, God, that you give us a boldness to go and not hesitate. Lord, I ask that every woman in this room, that everything she puts her hand to would prosper. That favor would pour out on her life. That those things that have been broken will be restored. That calamity would not come near their homes. And Lord, I pray for increase in our hearts today, God. Lord, let our hearts be your heart. Let our desires be your desire. Let our will be your will. Lord, let us long for what you long for. Lord, let us see through your eyes. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.